Welcome, 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 everybody, to Topics of Great Importance on the Overthink Network, the show where we answer the most pressing and significant questions facing all of man and womankind. I'm your host, Corrigan Vaughn, and joining me for this very first episode, you know and love him from the nationally syndicated iHeartRadio favorite, The Woody Show, or possibly as your mop-top commercial teen idol, Tyler Scott, it's Cameron Lewis!
Wow, what an intro.
I know, right?
Tyler Scott, the name that I thought would die forever.
Nope, no, that will live on in perpetuity. And Cameron, before we go any further, as a former child star, very important question right out the gate. Bang, marry, kill.
Oh, God.
Devin Sawa, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Freddie Prinze Jr.
Wait, run me, who was the first one again?
Devin Sawa.
Okay.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Freddie Prinze Jr.
Okay, marry Freddie Prinze Jr.
Okay, okay.
F Jonathan Taylor Thomas, obviously.
And kill Devin Sawa?
Yeah, why not?
He's one of my favorite tweeters. I think I have it. Did you ever see Casper when you were a kid?
A little bit.
A little bit? You saw a little bit of Casper?
Oh, you mean the movie?
Yeah, the movie.
Yeah. I thought you meant the TV show. Wasn't there a TV show?
I forgot that. Yeah, you're right. There was a TV show, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, my bad. I meant the movie, because I totally forgot about that period of pop culture history. But when Devin Sawa comes to life in Casper, do you remember, like, he and Christina Ricci are dancing?
Yeah, it's creepy as hell.
Oh, it's wonderful. And he says to her, "Can I keep you?"
That's what people say when they want to, like, lock you in their basement, okay?
Okay.
What he meant by that was, like, "Can I keep you downstairs for the rest of your life?"
Oh, that's dark. Yeah.
So that's why he's dying, in my opinion.
Yeah. And in light of, I guess, how his creepy uncles act throughout the movie, it's understandable that with that those kinds of role models, that would be where he goes with things.
Also, he's already dead because he's a ghost, so it's not like doing much.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Because you know how all actors are their characters in real
life. Yeah, no, obviously. that's what the assumption is that I'm operating under, and this entire podcast will operate
under. Oh, obviously, yeah.
Yeah. So, Cam, I'm very pleased to have you here as my very first guest on Togi, if we want to abbreviate it here. Topics of Great Importance, Togi. That's a pretty good acronym, right?
I like that. Well, it's a great honor and a huge pleasure to be here.
Oh, you're too sweet, good sir. You've been doing Woody Show for a while, and now explain to me, what's your role there, aside from getting mocked mercilessly by the rest of the hosts?
Yeah, I am one of two producers on the show. Okay. And what I mostly do every day is gather topics for discussion, mostly news. Right. I get all, like, we do a segment called Redneck News, which is typically news out of the state of Florida. And I gather those stories. I gather stories for.
Do you just Google, like, Florida man when you wake up every morning?
No, sometimes, but there's actually a number of different websites that, like, collect all these Florida stories for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How convenient.
One of them, FARC.com, is the best. It gathers all kinds of stuff. But so I do mostly that. And then kind of a lot of just the last minute stuff.
Sure.
Like, oh, I think we should do this topic today. Can we try and find a survey that talks about something or something? And I'll go, yeah, I'll try and find something.
Okay. And then you do all sorts of other side podcasts and things for them, right? I saw you had something about a nerd podcast or
something. Yeah. So I started doing somewhat recently the Nerdin' Out podcast with one of the co-hosts from The Woody Show, Ravy. And that's right just on. A round them up of whatever nerd pop culture kind of thing we want to talk about in any given week. And like 2 weeks ago, we did the Game of Thrones finale. And I think the latest one we did, we took a BuzzFeed nerd quiz.
Ooh.
And I'm 94% nerdy, by the way. So there you go.
94.
Yeah. Much higher than I thought.
That's higher than you expected. I'm curious as to what that 6% you were lacking was.
Reading, I think.
Oh,
because books. I don't read constantly, and by that I mean I never read.
Yeah, books are for chumps.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nerds.
Read a movie for once.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Anything else you're up to besides those? Is the Cameron Lewis show still a thing?
I'm figuring out what I want to do with that, as always. Because I like talking to people, obviously, you being one of the main ones. But I want to try and find a way I can make it relevant, like long term, instead of like day to day topical stuff. So coming on the way. Also, Radio Millennial is coming back from a summer hiatus in about 3 weeks. So.
Oh, how exciting. Excellent podcast. Everyone should check out.
You got to swing by Radio Millennial soon.
I know. Yeah, you just let me know. Now that your summer break is over, I will be there, potentially with actual bells on. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Reppin' togi.
Reppin' the togi. So let's jump into it. Cameron, this week it was announced that the live-action Aladdin movie has added a brand new character.
Yeah.
Prince Anders, played by the noticeably white Billy Magnussen.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about this?
I have heard about it, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious, Cameron, how do you think Prince Anders is going to fit into the Agrabah scene? And potentially, you know, I'm open to hearing any ideas for perhaps songs he could sing, any form of love story you see him involved in. What do we do with our new token white man?
Okay, well, I think, first of all, let's just call him Andrew.
Yeah.
Because his name is Andrew.
Yeah. That's fair.
What's probably going to happen, and I know this might seem outlandish.
Okay.
Go with me for a second.
I'm following you down this trail, Cameron.
We are going to be in a Westworld situation.
Okay. Interesting. Let's hear it.
Prince Andrew. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's his name, everybody. He is
canon.
Going to be revealed sometime in shortly after the first act of the movie, where we are going to realize he's actually overseeing this whole Aladdin world that's happening underneath him.
Whoa.
And somehow he's going to get involved and actually insert himself into that world to solve some sort of problem. And that is where, again, here's something weird. He's going to fall in love with an animal.
An animal?
Yes.
Whoa!
Because there's going to be a whole thing with reincarnation, and he's going to think that one of them is going to be like his ex-girlfriend or something. Because, you know, they're always trying to figure out ways to spice up like these old classics and make them relevant to today.
And you think bestiality is the tack that's missing.
Well, I mean, is it bestiality? Yes, that's the answer.
If I'm going to get a dictionary out, I would say.
I'm trying to think of the songs.
I mean, well, especially with this Westworld setup that you've given it, it takes on a much darker tone when it goes this way.
Well, Aladdin's pretty dark to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, especially in its early incarnation. You remember the original theme song, which they changed, where it was like, where they cut off your ear if they don't like your face? Like, it is a dark world.
Yeah, super dark.
It. And then do you remember also, see, your thing about the animals made me think of how there were always those things that went around about like, oh, if you listen carefully, you can hear them say this in the movie, and there's always subliminal messages. And one of them was supposedly when Aladdin is trying to like back away from Raja the tiger, he like says, good teenagers take off their clothes. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah,
so it adds like a whole other level if Raja is potentially a romantic player.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's exactly right.
Do you think that's who Andrew is going to get it on with, Raja?
Yeah, I mean, that's the main suspect, because he's not, I don't think he's into monkeys.
Yeah, Abu would be a...
Yeah, and so I think Raja would be the first one up there.
There's an elegance to Raja, yeah.
And the song that he would probably sing with that would be A Furian Night.
Nice. That's pretty good. See, I was thinking just, you know, we really have to think about this guy being your token white guy here. So maybe Arabian Whites.
Oh, there you go.
His song. How about A Whole New World now that there's a white guy to put a flag in it?
Oh, yeah. There you go. That'll be in there. That'll definitely be in there.
This is such a baffling choice, though, because this movie has been plagued by problems with their casting. Have you followed any of this?
Yeah, I have. At a certain point, you wonder, like, is it worth doing it? Why did they commit themselves so hard to this?
Right. I mean, their first thing out the gate was, like, the only casting we had when they even announced this was Will Smith as the genie. Right. Which was more a weird poll than anything else. I don't think anyone's offended that Will Smith is the genie so much as you're like, huh.
I think it's just a terrible choice.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
For me, it's like, okay, it's like this half attempt at gaining some sort of celebrity to like add hype to the movie.
Yeah.
But it's like Will Smith has not had a great track record in the past 10 years.
No, not so much. And
so much to the point where it's like, I'm pretty sure people have a bad taste in their mouth about Will Smith.
Yeah, which is a bummer because I love Will Smith.
I do too.
Yeah, he's a great actor. He's funny. I think he seems like a good guy. I want to be on his team. But I don't know. And since Suicide Squad, I'm just like, dude, you're slipping more than anything else. So I don't know. It was weird to start with. And then they had the problem where they were like, gee, we don't know where we're going to find someone to play Aladdin, as if there were no Middle Eastern people on the planet who could sing.
Oh, there are? Just kidding. I knew that. Like, that was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, right? I don't know what their deal was there. And then they cast Naomi. Do you remember what her last name is? She's playing Jasmine.
Yeah. Oh, shoot.
She was in Power Rangers. I like her a lot. But
did you see Power Rangers?
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah. What did you think?
I loved it.
It was fun. People crapped on that movie. I'm like, why?
I don't see any reason. If you go in there, I mean, I feel like maybe people didn't know what they were getting themselves into. Maybe they hadn't seen Power Rangers or hadn't seen it since they were six. But yeah, it felt like super fun and Power Ranger-y.
Yeah, and you know what ruled is when they were, like, fighting back with Zordon.
Oh my God, right? When they did the, like, Power Rangers, the actual Power Rangers theme and the flyover.
Yeah.
Oh, I was...
I threw up in the theater.
Just out of excitement?
Yeah, and there was, like, two 13-year-olds next to me, and it was just us three.
It's all of you puking.
Yeah.
It was like that Snapchat filter. It was just like rainbows coming out of all of your mouths.
That's exactly right. Only there were Zords coming out.
Yeah. No, I absolutely love that movie. And I thought she was good in it as well. I loved everybody in that movie.
But back to Aladdin, like, I think that at risk of sounding cliche by saying, like, it's 2017, but it is 2017.
It is 2017.
And, like, let's say for a second that they just wanted to have, and let's play devil's advocate, and they wanted to have an open casting call, and they were like, you know what, this is Aladdin, and yeah, we realize the original story took place here with these type of people, but we're going to open it up to anybody, right?
Right.
Let's say that for a second, that sure, is the situation. You know, just based on a backlash, not even like your beliefs, but based on backlash, you know the backlash you're going to get.
Yeah.
So why would you even walk into that situation?
Right.
Let alone like what you actually support or don't support. Why would you allow yourself to like be open to scrutiny like that? It's so stupid.
This is, like, Cameron, how are we so much smarter than everyone running Hollywood studios? Because we see this from the outside. Like, here's how you avoid this problem is just don't do that.
Yeah. Here's the one way of avoiding it. Just stop.
Like, have you noticed how people have been boycotting and writing think pieces and stuff? Like, maybe just avoid that altogether. And then on top of it, when they like, what is truly baffling is to then create a white character. Like, they genuinely think that white people will not go to a movie theater if they cannot see a white person on the screen.
Which I like. Okay. There probably are people that exist that will not go see the movie if there's not a white person, right?
That's a very good point. Those people do exist.
But again, let's just play ignorant person here.
Yeah.
How many people went and saw Slumdog Millionaire?
Right?
Why can't you just like go off the coattails of that 10 years later? But like, yeah. I don't know. It's just stupid.
You know, people are going to all kinds of like Fast and Furious is, you know, a huge franchise, like the biggest action franchise in the world, and all these things full of people of color and whatnot. People are going to see them. And I don't think anyone was sitting there like, gee, I'd go see this Aladdin movie, but I just don't see enough white on there. If Aladdin was your favorite movie, you've already been tricked into watching something with all brown people 20 years ago.
Right.
So I think you're going to go in and you're not going to notice.
Right. I think the point is, like, you know what makes people go and see the movie? If it's a good movie.
Right. Yeah.
Did it the right way and you marketed it well, people are going to go see it. It doesn't matter who's in it.
Yeah, and it's not like Billy Magnuson is a giant draw either. He's been in a lot of stuff. He's a solid actor. He can sing, all of that. But, like, who is like, oh, Billy Magnuson's in it? Dude, this is my jam.
Right.
That's how the kids talk, I think.
Well, I think it's like, why can't they take, like, I thought Wonder Woman, you saw Wonder Woman, yes?
Of course.
Did you like it?
I saw it four times in the theater.
You saw it four times. Yeah. I really liked it. I don't think it was like crazy good, but I really liked it.
That's fair. That's fair.
It like held my attention longer than any one of the comic book movies has in quite some time. So I gave it that credit. But I think the biggest distraction for me when it comes to specifically DC movies is like, they look so bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that really pulls me out. But anyway, so that being said, Wonder Woman is a great example of, Gal Gadot or Gal Gadot, depending on how you say it. Some people say Gail. Probably not Gail. There's no I in there.
We'll go with whichever makes you feel comfortable.
She was if you think about it in terms of a big studio point of view, a rather risky choice to play a lead in such a big franchise. Yep. But they did it, and they picked the right director, knowing full well people could have an issue with all of it. And look how well it did.
Yeah.
And that movie could have been crap and it still would have made a boatload of money. So it's like, if you just like go for it, nobody's going to even like second guess you. In fact, like they're going to respect you more. So at the very least, again, I don't understand why people just don't do it. And it just doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah. I mean, we all know this, but the studio system is stuck 50 years ago and just refuses to move forward on things. But also, I mean, on that note of what you're saying about Wonder Woman is, If you believe in the thing you're making, so Wonder Woman, you know, had a good script, it had a good cast and director and all that kind of stuff, and so there you go. They didn't have to worry about all of that other stuff. They could kind of throw it out there and be like, this is a solid thing we're putting out and people are going to like it. You only need to sort of shoehorn stuff in like this if you don't believe in the thing you're selling anyway.
Right. Exactly.
So doesn't give me great vibes about how this Aladdin movie is coming along, that this is how they're trying to update it, I guess.
I also just am not a fan of, like, why are they touching the Disney classics?
Well, you know, I thought like Cinderella was really good, and Beauty and the Beast I thought was good, aside from the characters not being able to sing. I get that they're trying to create a live action Disney cinematic universe. It's like printing money to do it.
You know what? I just need to always think about that, because I'm always like, why would they do this? Yeah. It's like, well, I don't know. Beauty and the Beast was like number three of like movie making all time record, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, obviously money.
Yeah, you'd forgotten. See, money is so far outside of our realm of thinking that that just doesn't even come
up. So sad.
Yeah.
Those board meetings are literally like, hey, you know what, Deborah, why don't we do a remake of Beauty and the Beast? And Deborah's like, I don't know. And they're like, money. And she goes, great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do I sign?
Deborah's like, you know what? You're the best. Stephanie, you just got a raise.
I like that everyone in your boardroom is female. Very progressive of you.
Wonder Woman's on the mind.
Yeah, boardrooms can be full of female capitalists too.
Yeah.
Who only care about money. Take that, 90s.
Take that, previous years.
Yeah. So I don't know. This whole thing is a little baffling to me.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Let's talk about something else, shall we?
Sure.
Right now, Cameron, we are coming off of the Pacific Northwest is burning. Dallas is recovering from Hurricane Harvey. Hurricane Irma is destroying entire island nations and setting her sights on the eastern seaboard. And today we had a giant 8.0 earthquake in Mexico. Yeah. So we are basically living out several apocalypse films simultaneously.
Absolutely.
So my next question to you, if you were to be stuck in an apocalypse movie, what's the best and or worst kind of apocalypse movie to be in, like specific movies or type? And when I say this, I mean, you don't get to be a hero. You're not Bruce Willis off destroying the asteroid or whatever. You're a bystander.
Oh, I'm a bystander?
Yeah, you're a bystander.
Well,
you're not
still applies
cast.
To my best one. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, unless you have a, like, if you have a solid storyline where you're fighting something, I do want to hear it.
Well, no.
I'm ready to hear you how you save the day, Cam.
I would say the worst one would mm-hmm. be World War Z.
World War Z. Okay, why?
Because zombies.
Well, yeah, that's zombies are my no-go.
That is, like, legitimately, like, there's no chance in hell.
Yeah.
And you're being hunted, and mm-hmm. there's nowhere to go, and everybody else is becoming zombies, and
right.
it's just not okay. And specifically World War Z, it, like, I am correct. That's the one with Brad Pitt, right? I'm not, like,
yeah,
making
yeah,
it up.
Fun.
Okay, I'm like, wait
no,
a second.
You're correct.
For a second, I was thinking of the sci-fi show they just started a couple years ago, the Z Nation or whatever. I'm
oh,
like, am
Z-Nation,
I just talking
yeah,
about
yeah.
a stupid sci-fi show? So that one in particular is super scary.
I remember it being scary. I just, like, I don't remember a ton of details for why, except I do remember that part where all the zombies just start scrambling on top of each other to get over the wall.
Yes, that, yeah.
And so, like, the idea of zombie, like, it's not really teamwork because they're all sort of to each their own, but that they can kind of hive mind like that to accomplish something. That's pretty horrifying.
It's horrifying. And I think, like, you're always in that situation, like anything where it's like disease based or anything like that, that sounds terrifying. And like, there's no yeah. chance in hell. The one I yeah. think I would be best in would be 2012.
2012. Why 2012?
Because everything goes, but you're not like each other's enemy.
Okay.
Like, everybody's kind of fighting against the world's clock.
Sure.
Which is kind of what's going on right now, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, apparently.
And I also, like, you said not to pick, like, I'm not the person in the movie, but just driving around in an invincible limousine the way that John Cusack does sounds pretty
right.
great.
Okay.
But I think, like, any situation like that, maybe San Andreas, even though, like, crazy-ish is happening all over the right. place, you're, like, bonding with your fellow human to get through it.
Okay. So you like the you're saying if you were going to be in one, there has to be sort of a utopian element to your disaster that's happening. Like, people, instead of most of these things, when there comes the apocalypse, everyone turns against each other. Like, there's a few people who band together, and then people come in and they, like, raid everything and start killing each other and all that kind of stuff and make the thing even worse. You're saying
exactly
the kind of movie where people bond.
Exactly. Because let's be honest, when it comes down to it, in a zombie situation, people become more desperate. They start shooting each other for food and things like that. And to be honest, I would not make it in that situation. Like, I would yeah. be bested in any kind of fight. So
this is always how I think, like, you know, when I watch Zombieland, he has all the rules for how you're supposed to survive and everything. I'm like, okay, in theory, I get these. I just feel like I'm not emotionally or physically or mentally equipped.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Basically, in any possible way, I am inadequate to face the challenges of zombie apocalypse.
Like, this would be great if Captain America was in this situation, but me...
Yeah.
Cameron Lewis, not gonna yeah. work.
Right. And this is always my thing too. You know, when you watch apocalyptic things or read apocalyptic books,
yeah.
that there's always teenagers who are just coming up with, they're like MacGyvering everything and coming up with all these amazing solutions. And I'm like, I'm 32 years old and I would just like fall over.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, ah, zombie, and I like fall and die.
I know.
Like, that's it. End of story.
I would like to think that I wouldn't be one of those people that sees a zombie and just is like, what? And then gets eaten.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure it takes so long for me to process what's going on that I would already be dead.
Yeah. Well, can I tell you the one kind of person I know I would not be?
Absolutely.
Is the people, like, Independence Day is the perfect example of this. You have those like culty people who are standing on the roof like, welcome, you know, and
yeah.
like waiting for them to get there. That ain't me. And similarly, the people who stand on the ground and just watch as impending disasters come, like there's like a big tsunami wave coming or aliens or whatever. And they're just like, I better wait it out before I start running. Like, nah, bro, I'm gone. I'm in New Jersey. Like, there's just no way.
I agree with you. Which, to be honest, like, right now, I have a ton of family in Florida who are staying.
Oh, no.
I'm literally like, yo, as soon as I saw, like, rain in the forecast, I would be in North Dakota.
Yeah.
Like,
straight
anytime
up,
as a kid, when like growing up in Missouri where we had tornadoes, anytime as a, like where the wind would blow over 5 miles an hour, I was sleeping in the basement. You know what?
When are we moving?
Yeah, I'm gonna be ready for this whenever it does happen.
Yeah, I mean, I watch Twister a lot, so
yeah,
I would be in exactly the same place as you. You know, like I get there are people who stay for like circumstances they can't avoid, but
I get
when
that.
You're like, you could leave. Like, I'm out, bro.
Yeah. Like, for instance, I have a cousin who is a teacher, and her school got called off like a week ago.
Oh, yeah. So, like, peace. It's vacation.
And, you know, people post online like, oh, you know, I'm getting the house ready. It's like, the house is going to be gone.
Yeah.
Don't need to check the paint.
I'm not kidding. Watching, like, literally islands destroyed.
Yeah.
No houses or anything left on them. At this point,
what's the airport down there in the Caribbean? What is it, the airport in St. Martin or something?
Yeah, I think it was St. Martin.
Oh my God! Like we're not going to be able to fly down there for a long time because it's ruined.
It's completely gone. You know, and this is so. Whenever I watch, you know, disaster films and stuff, or see like in real life people who are like, "I'll wait it out," I'm just like, "No, that's not me." Wherever the event is not centered. That's where you're going to find me. Like, you're not finding, like, say, alien attack. Like, they're never super interested in, like, Missoula, Montana.
Right.
So, boom. Like, that's where you'll find me. Hold up. I'm going to be, you know, Juneau, Alaska, building myself some form of ice feature to live in. I don't know. But I'm not going to be standing there staring at anything.
That's right.
I don't get it. Not going to do it.
Even the aliens don't care about Kansas.
Right?
There's too much wheat there.
Here's the problem, though. Supernatural takes place in Kansas, so I just feel like the demon problem is out of control there.
That and Superman lives there.
Yeah. So, yeah. So if there's anything I could say for there, they've got some paranormal alien activity I don't need to be a part of. But can I tell you what apocalypse I think I could handle?
Absolutely.
WALL-E.
Okay, yeah. I forgot that that's an apocalypse.
Yeah, it's like the world is destroyed and everybody gets on a ship and like they're probably gonna die when they're 35 because like diabetes and coronary problems and all this kind of stuff. But in that time, they just like chill, watch TV, talk to their friends.
Hell yeah.
Eat junk food.
Do whatevs.
If I'm gonna be in an apocalypse, that's what I'm feeling.
I didn't even consider that.
Yeah,
I might change my answer now because I'm like, you know what? I can just like
that sounds pretty good. Actually,
wait it out, eat dumb amounts of pizza,
and nobody's like, you better go exercise.
Yeah.
Like,
oh.
Nope, no, you're good. It's the antithesis of our Los Angeles lifestyle, basically. And there's something appealing.
There is though. There really is.
Yeah, I will say though, like if I'm going for one that's not as super chill as that, I'm gonna say something. Like Armageddon or like anything where there's a comet of some sort, like something that's going to hit the Earth because either someone goes and stops it from happening or it just hits you and you're good. But like, you don't really like, what do you do about it?
Right.
I don't know.
It is what it is.
I'm going to go like check off some things on my bucket list.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Okay. Well, we have about a week and cool. It's been real.
It's been real, right? I'm going to go, like, eat, like, a ton of ice cream and, like, I don't know. What would you do if you had a comet powering at you and you're like, either Bruce Willis is going to save me or he's not? What would you do with that couple days?
I would, it seems like a waste. but I was going to say I would travel to Europe or something because I've never been. But then I'm like, okay, if I have a week, if like 18 hours of that is spent on an airplane, that sounds terrible.
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends on where you go. If you just like hop it over to, you know, England or something, maybe it's like 10 hours, you get there.
I also think like Okay. Again, I just want to make the point clear. I don't want to die, but there right. is something about knowing that you have a week left. Like everybody has a week left. That's kind of freeing, right? Hopefully, yeah. hopefully it doesn't get violent, but right. like money no longer is a concern.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Crap, like, just charge everything.
Or, you know, if I were like working places, I'd just be like, take it.
Yeah. Buy, you know? Steal or give or whatever.
Yeah. Like if the world doesn't end, then fine. We'll figure it out after. We'll have a year of jubilee and forgive all the debts and everything's good, you know?
And then the purge becomes legal.
I mean, naturally, yeah, that's the natural next step. I mean, this is the problem. With all of these kinds of things, you have what happens with, you know, when things get destroyed, it ends up putting everything in disarray, and then governments fall and everything goes to crap.
Oh, so, when governments fall.
Yeah, if they could all just fall and we were like, all just like, chill, let's hang out. You know what? Remember that time we almost died?
Wasn't that crazy?
Let's be cool now. That could happen any old time.
All right, I'll talk to you later, North Korea.
Right. I mean, that's really, I guess that's my utopic idea is, you know, there's something that's going to come and destroy us. And we're like, you know what? Then why can't we be friends? And then that lasts, you know? Well, it's like, did you see Arrival?
Yeah, I did.
You know, you got that, like, that has that very sort of utopian end to it where it's like, they came and they, like, gave us this knowledge and now we can, like, communicate with each other in ways we never thought possible.
I loved Arrival.
Yeah, that was great. I came out of that just, like, so moved.
Right? You know what? I came out of that like, you know what? We can do this if we stand together. And then I held the door for somebody and they didn't say thank you. And it was all ruined. All back to square one.
Come on, people. But, you know, I guess that's in my dream what I imagined. Some sort of apocalyptic event happens. We die or we don't. We either live out the best couple days of your life or everyone gets smashed to bits. And, you know, the Earth could stand to probably start over without us.
Probably.
At this point.
It's going to take it back.
Yeah, the Earth seems real mad. Right now.
Pissed off.
This not having a good time, and she's letting us all know about it.
Yeah, I was taking a walk the other day, and a tree looked at me the wrong way. I was like, jeez.
God damn, man. Like, just doing my thing.
That's onto your next topic. What's the deal with trees, you guys?
That's for next week. We don't want to rush in with all the deep stuff just yet.
And now, let's ask some drunk people.
The original question was not about a pineapple. So, you know, there's all sorts of different genres of apocalypse movie, right? Like, you got natural and man-made disasters, you got zombies, you got crazy. You got all kinds of different ways you can have, like, an apocalypse happen. So if you were stuck in an apocalyptic movie, so what's the best and the worst apocalypse
to
get in?
Cowboys.
The worst
would
be
the best.
The Z World,
or what's the... Because that's a horrible concept, but also Harrison Ford. So
and Daniel Craig, I mean. Okay. Yeah, I'd say aliens are... I don't know about aliens as a thing.
The worst one would be the Brad Pitt one, because those are like fast-moving zombies. Yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah.
That would be that would be the worst one, because they move quick.
Okay, I have a question, though. Is it worth to have zombies who... When they get you, you know they've gotten you, or is it worse to have, like, end-of-time kind of illness when you're like, dude, I don't even know if I'm sick, but my eyes are about to start bleeding?
I think then you know you're sick.
Or like, then all of a sudden you're sick and you, like, don't really know you're sick.
Like Walking Dead status where then like the humans are against each other and basically
humans are against each other in every scenario because we're assholes.
Yeah,
we're against each other right now.
You see what happened? Like, the first thing she wanted in her apocalypse backpack was a rifle. No food, a rifle.
I need money. Why do I need money? I'll take money. I have a rifle.
You gotta, like, bribe people. A rifle and some bullets.
Day after tomorrow. I think that's the...
That's the best.
Because you get to restart.
I was gonna say that because it's the only one that I know.
Well, because you get to restart, too. Like, like, everybody knows they screwed up at that point. And, like,
true.
Hopefully most of the bad people have died.
Yeah.
Because they were all out for themselves, right?
Exactly.
Like, all the people who helped each other.
We both know all the good people died
in this
world. I think it's definitely true. It's too altruistic. Yeah, if you, like, sacrifice yourself.
It's kind of like Hunger Games status, where then, like, man, shit gets cray. You're, like, sending your kids and kill each other.
Let's close out with one more topic. I want to end with my guests explaining maybe your best pop culture fact or a story from popular culture, something that's happened to you that's interesting that you'd like to impart upon the listeners. So Cameron, tell me a story.
Well, I'll tell you the story, Corey.
All right.
This one happened.
That should be the name of the segment, by the way.
I'll tell you a story.
Tell you a story, Corey.
And now it's time for I'll tell you a story, Corey.
Excellent.
So I think I believe I've told you all the details of this before. I don't know if I've told you all the details, but I think I've told.
But I'm going to act like it's new.
Here we go.
Let's hear it.
So, like, 2-3 years ago, I think I was working with this guy who came up to me in the office and he was like, hey, you know what? I have an extra pass to the Dodgers game tonight. And I was like, okay, hell yeah. And I had never been to a Dodgers game before. And to be honest, I think I like the Angels better because it's safer. and I'm not scared.
That's actually fully reasonable.
The entire time I'm there.
Yeah. I mean, people get, like, ganked at Dodgers
games.
Yeah,
I know. It's ridiculous. But so he was like, hey, yeah, you know, it's in, like, the Kettle One Club, so we'll have food and, like, all this other stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. Hell yeah. So we go to the game, have great seats, and we get food and a bunch of stuff. And I'm feeling pretty good. And he then says, hey, actually, my friend works at the Dodgers organization, and that's how we got the tickets. And so after the game, the friend took us on a tour of the stadium, and we got, like, jerseys and went in the players' lounge and yada, yada, yada. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. And then afterwards, this guy was like, hey, because it was an afternoon game, I'm going to have some people over to my place to, like, go swimming and hang out. Do you want to come for a while? And I was like, sure, why not? You know, I have nothing to do. And so we roll up to the hills of, like, Laurel Canyon and the Hollywood Hills. And we pull up to this gated property. And I was like, okay, there's no way he can afford this. So what the hell is going on?
Secret millionaire.
Yeah. So we roll in and I'm kind of looking around like, whose house is this? Because, like, this is a 25-year-old kid. Like, I said, I'm 27. I'm calling 25-year-old kids now. What am I
talking about?
He's
a child.
This guy was a 36-year-old kid.
I don't even remember what it was like back then.
Anyways, so we go inside and stuff, and I'm like, what is going on? I meet his one friend and all that. And he says, yeah, I don't know if I told you, but I live with my family friend. And right. I was like, oh, okay, who? And he says, a certain galactic princess.
That's
known
seriously what he
as
said to you?
Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher. How does someone bury the lead? Like,
whoa.
I would be like, hey, want to come over to my house, which I also share with Carrie Fisher.
Holy F. And then, as it turns out, his mom is Tracy Ullman.
You didn't tell me that part.
Yeah.
What?
And I was like, okay, way to, like, bury the deets.
Yeah, like, big time. Holy cow.
Holy F.
His mother brought us The Simpsons.
Yeah, and I was like, you know what? I'm from St. Louis, so isn't that impressive? So anyway, so yeah, I spent the whole, like, night chilling out at Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds' place.
So bonkers.
Crazy.
I love that so much. And you got to meet them both a few times, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, they were both... Well, I didn't meet Debbie Reynolds that time. I met Debbie Reynolds, like, when I was working at the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. And, but I met Carrie Fisher at both the show and then at the house that night. So ridiculous.
So ridiculous. So ridiculous. I love that so much. Oh, my God. That will forever be one of my favorite things that's ever happened to anybody. Like, honestly.
I think the craziest part of it, like, I'm not normally a starstruck person. Like, I never ask for autographs or photos even.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it's cool. Like, I love a lot of these people.
Mm-hmm.
But I also recognize the fact that, like, they have lives and all that. And, you know, people.
And you get used to it, too. Like, honestly, when you're in LA and all that kind of stuff, after a while, it's kind of like, meh.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not saying like people who want autographs and stuff are like terrible for wanting that. That's not what I'm saying. But like, I don't know. It's just never been that big of a deal to me, I guess. And I think just because I didn't know that I was walking into the situation, yeah. I like freaked out a little bit.
I don't even know what I would have done. It's the surprise of it being like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. This is happening to me. I mean, this happened with a friend of mine that I knew his aunt was Demi Moore, but I forgot.
Oh, really?
This. And so like, he was like, hey, will you pick me up at my aunt's house? I was driving from Orange County to Santa Barbara where we both yeah. lived. And I was like, I was like, hey, I know you're in LA. Why don't I come pick you up? And he was like, sweet. Will you pick me up? I'm at my aunt's house. We were having an Oscars party. I was like, okay, sweet. And it like did not hit me until later that I was like, his aunt is Demi Moore. Like, hold on a second. And then I was like, oh my gosh. Like I knew before I got like, before I'd left, but I was like, oh, right. Cause I was sitting there like, he has an aunt in Beverly Hills. Why does he have an aunt in Beverly Hills? Who is this guy all of a sudden? And then I was like, oh, that's why. And, you know, end up going, and she's a delightful woman, by the way, with lots of chihuahuas.
Oh.
But yeah, it was like the nerves of it. Like normally that wouldn't bother me at yeah. all, but it was like, oh gosh, I just am thrust into, I was going to pick him up from his like grandparents' house and now it's Demi Moore's house.
Yeah. It is Fuck. Weird. Like I had this realization that like, you know, I think everybody that's lived in LA or LA adjacent has seen their fair share of like well-known people, right?
Yeah,
what did you say?
For sure.
So, yeah. You know, obviously like I have, and as have other people seen like, you know, whoever,
yeah.
But this was the first time I think ever where I was like, this person is somebody that I think most of the people in the world know who they are. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, not
Absolutely.
Just like, oh, there's a bunch of people who really like you in these few movies or like whatever, but not only does everybody know who you are now, but like every generation knows who you are.
Yeah, totally.
And I was
yeah.
like,
anyone
Holy
who is living
F.
knows who this is.
So it was very trippy.
Yeah, I can imagine. I love that. That just, it's delightful. And I love that you got to have that experience before we lost both of them. You know, it's just like,
yeah.
that's a great thing to take with you. You have that forever to tell people.
Yeah, so crazy.
All right, one more thing before we go, Cameron. What are you listening to these days?
So I have been listening to the crap out of How I Built This.
How I Built This?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's a podcast done through NPR
okay.
with a guy named Guy Raz. So the guy's first name is Guy, so you know it's good.
Okay, yeah. I had a chiropractor named Guy once, so I feel okay about that.
And I really like it because it is interviews with people who started businesses or ideas, essentially with innovators and entrepreneurs. And like the first episode, I think, was with one of the first episodes was with the founders of Instagram. And like they've done one with the people who founded Airbnb and Warby Parker, the glasses company, the guys who started Lyft, the Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank, the guy behind the Power Rangers, Haim Saban.
Wait, that's actually one person's name?
Saban?
Like Haim Saban.
Yeah, that's
Haim
one
Saban.
Person's name. You have to listen to that one because it's so ridiculous. And also the guy who founded Whole Foods and a couple other ones. So
okay.
The reason I like it is because like everybody, there's this idea with the industry I work in and then also just entrepreneur and business and whatever, entrepreneurialism and business, that like you have everything figured out.
Right.
And people often trip up about that. And I used to so much, not like, I would say within the last year, I'm way less worried about like where I'm going and more just happy with like, as long as there's forward momentum, I'm cool with it.
Right. Yeah.
Not necessarily like there's several end goals I'd be happy with. And I think that's sure. like the place I'm happy being now, but in the past that was an issue. And like, when you listen to this, it's crazy because there's so many of these people with these businesses that are crazy successful. I mean, Instagram, they sold for billions of dollars to Facebook.
Yeah. It's a bonkers deal. Yeah.
They had no idea what they were doing. And
right.
like they tried like Airbnb they had like seven different versions of Airbnb before it worked.
Huh. Oh, wow.
And the final thing they figured out, like the way that they figured out to make it work is the guy, one of the guys flew to New York and like watched 10 people use the website. And it was just a hard to use website. That was it. So they fixed it, they fixed a few buttons and then like they instantly became successful. And so they like for years with all these different like business changing, like really big ideas and like, well, we have to change our outlook on this to make it work and blah, blah. No, it was a couple buttons. The guy who founded Whole Foods had really no idea what he was doing. The Lyft people, like it's really, really interesting.
That sounds super cool.
And it's comforting.
I like the idea of that.
Yeah. What are you listening to?
What am I listening to? Right now, I am very addicted to the podcast My Dad Wrote a Porno. Have you heard of it?
Oh, what's that?
Oh, man. It's delightful. It is this British fella named Jamie, whose father is like a retiree and started writing erotic novels. And they are terrible. Just awful. Bad sex, bad everything. So every week on this podcast, Jamie reads a chapter and his two friends, Alice and James, sort of add a Mystery Science Theater type commentary to what's amazing. Going on. And they have lovely English accents, which makes everything better. And they're so incredulous at everything that is being written in this book that it's just like they speak for all of us. And as it goes on, you find yourself like reacting and responding to things and hoping that they'll bring up the question you had, like, whoa, hold on. That makes zero sense. It's wonderful. So
that sounds amazing.
I highly recommend it. It's very funny. You got to be careful where you listen to it. Like if you're in your car, you don't want to crash it. Or I was listening to it on the treadmill the other day and I had to slow it down because I was like crying as I was running. So that's what I'm into right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. Well, what is it called again?
My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Oh, hell yeah. I got to subscribe to that right now.
Yeah, check it. All right, well, Cameron, is there anywhere you want people to look you up on the interwebs and so forth before we say goodbye?
Mostly my MySpace page. No. Obviously. I did find my MySpace the other day. It's just so
did you really?
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's like different now though, right? Like you have none of your comments or anything on it.
Yeah, those are all gone, but the very embarrassing pictures are still there. So
do you have Tyler Scott hair?
Oh yeah.
Oh, beautiful. I love it.
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter at the only cam shaft.
The only cam shaft.
And I think that's about it. Facebook, I'm kind of like whatever about these days. So the other one's totally fine.
Awesome. Well, check him out there at The Only Camshaft on Twitter and Instagram. Listen in for him on The Woody Show and all of those projects that have spun out of that as well. And Cameron, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. It has been wonderful.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Fun times.
It's always great to have a chat with you. All right. So till next month, episode 2, this has been Topics of Great Importance. See you later, everyone.